Okay, we're on candid camera. Everything you say is now going to be held against you because it's being recorded.
Amen.
Greetings, David.
Good evening. Missed God, please.
Yeah, missed God.
Everything go well?
Yes. Praise God. Everything came out fine.
Good.
No problem.
Yes, sir. Around the
world. Yes, exactly.
The invasiveness.
Anxiety and the unknown.
I've had eight of those. So.
But I have to go back in next year.
Well, I do 2 or 3 years now.
Everybody's got their little health stuff. Do you have wine?
I might have.
Okay. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we will embark. I just realized that that clock is a little fast, but that still is not going to help us tonight a lot.
It's 5 minutes fast.
How about 20 words of prayer?
20 words. Okay, amen. That's a fast.
20 letters.
Father, we're grateful for this opportunity, and again, we're grateful for your Spirit. May He be the one who teaches us, and may we be in a position so that He can teach us. May we not be obstructionists because of our sin nature, and we'll be grateful in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. We are on page 33.
You got it, David.
And we are working.
Thank you.
Again?
Did you bring your corrected copies?
No, that was one of the other ones, unfortunately, but I sent her, she got the corrected one.
I got it at home, I just
did. All things, I picked the one that was uncorrected, picked that one, not the one that's corrected in there somewhere, so I used the wrong one.
Okay, we're working the Ascension of Christ. You know, it's interesting, as we work our way through Christology, we start tending to put importance on things maybe that we hadn't before. And I think most believers have no problems with having an emphasis on the cross work and everything that happened there. It takes a little while for some of them sometimes, because of the way that a plan of salvation is presented, to really realize how important the resurrection is. But once you get a hold of it, and you're a real believer, the resurrection becomes almost more important than the work of Christ. And we do that then, especially out of Romans 4:25. He was raised for our justification. And so when we think in these terms, the resurrection becomes very important. But you know, I've noticed over the years that the ascension is not given as much of an emphasis among believers as could be. And that's why I've done conferences related to the ascension, just because it is really very important. Because in Christology, it does two major things for us. Number one is it tells us that the human nature of Christ was qualified to enter the third heaven and was the first human being, human nature that went to the third heaven. So we understand that. Now that's a precursor to our own being involved in our ascension with Him. And God the Father counts us to have done so, but when that event comes, if we have that meeting in the air tonight, it was kind of interesting today, tonight. I happened to stop at a table at Carl's Jr. and talk with a guy for a minute. Well, it was supposed to be a minute.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say, excuse me?
That was a Baptist minute.
And I had a chance, I was talking to him, and he had all kinds of rather off-the-wall questions, yes. And I kept coming back to the gospel and trying to make sure he had heard that. And I didn't have a real clean opportunity to gospel check him. Because he was one of those guys I think that would say yes about anything at that point. But went through it, gave him I gave him more than one track. He'll probably leave it along the freeway somewhere or in wherever hole he's hiding in. He's a homeless guy. And the reason I stopped to talk to him, he had 1, 2, 3, four Bibles and a New Testament. And he was reading a Bible that was pretty well worn, and so I thought I'd check him out and see where he was. And he was just lonely and wanted somebody to talk to, but it was interesting to share with him. And we were a little late tonight because I gave him a ride down the freeway. If I smell funny, it's not my new deodorant on it.
That's not even me. Don't blame me.
Well, no, and I just, you know, he has the gospel in his hands, and I kept driving the fact it's by God's grace, nothing you can do, it's by faith, and the person you believe in is Christ, and went through the gospel with him on that matter. And he's kind of interesting. He's a very conservative homeless person, and he has a radio that he carries with him, and he listens to conservative talk radio. And so it was kind of an interesting thing. But to talk about the resurrection of Christ, and you know, it was interesting to have, you know, kind of cold turkey talk to this guy. The hope of the rapture wasn't the key to him. I said, you know, I could be out of here tonight, and I could meet the Lord in the air. And I said, I would just love to see that happen. But aren't you worried about all the stuff down here? I said, if my citizenship was here, I might be, but it's not.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of interesting to relate to people that way. But you realize, in order to achieve the fullness of this citizenship, we will ascend together. We will be harpazo together, which is raptured together or seized together. I've told you when we did the prophecy material some years ago that if I was translating and doing a translation of 1 Thessalonians 4, I would translate it that we will be raptured together. That's what that word means. Caught up is okay, but it's not it's the word that would be accurately defined as raptured. And it has the idea of seized, and we will be caught up. And that will begin a trip to heaven. On the way, we will, I don't even like to call it a stop. On the way up, we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Before we get to the Father's throne, we will have gone through the Bema Seat reward event on it. Now, you notice I didn't call it the way it's translated in the King James. The only thing that's judged there are some works. And I don't know whether God's going to set a match to them or not, but they're going to vaporize. They will be burned as wood, hay, and stubble. And so then we will progress into the Father's, the presence of the Father. Just for fun, as I'm leading into this, see, I'm doing this so I can't get other questions about the subject until a little bit later. Anyway,
that was shameless.
There is... What was it?
But appropriate.
Was it the week before? What was it? I barely got a sentence out, and all of a sudden I'm getting dumped with questions.
At least you're not volunteering like I do.
No, I hope I'm getting wiser. There's a passage that talks about our being presented to the Father.
Yeah.
Okay.
24.
Yeah. I dropped that just because I wanted to, it was one of these ready, set, go kinds of questions.
Jude 24 and 25 and 1 Thessalonians 3:13 would be my favorites.
Okay. And that's where you want to go. Yeah, and you'll be presented. Do we need to look those up just to be reminded of that truth?
Why not? And I'm wondering if we are alongside him in Ephesians 5:27, or he presents us to himself. Did he present us to himself? Or did
that's a reflexive, yeah. Maybe he presents us to himself, yeah.
Well, I sure like the notion of presenting him
alongside. Do you understand the word presenting in the sense of, like, introducing? Or...
It has the. I think it's a word I'm familiar with. See, I was just in a class in seminary and in evening school in Forest Grove that deals with that word present, and it's translated yield in Romans 6. It's translated present in Romans 12. And remember that definition? I hope you do. If you don't, get your tattoo needle out and tattoo it on the end of your nose. Because it means to give to somebody that which they have already purchased. And so when he presents it to himself, that's pretty cool. And we're presented to the Son, but with the presentation of the Father.
We got a compound here in Romans 12. What is histemi in Jude? And you, you'd say histemi is...
Histemi is to stand.
To stand, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Translate it that way.
What?
Is Jude 24 related to histemi?
It's histemi.
It's histemi.
Okay, now let's find out who's in Jude and who's in 1 Thessalonians 3. Jude.
Well,
1, 2, 1 Thessalonians 3.
It's
4. Okay, let's go over there. I'm headed for 1 Thessalonians 3. I'll save the lesson in 1 Thessalonians.
I didn't know it was up for grabs.
Jude 23:24. That little book of Jude's got some interesting things in it. Did I say 23 and 24 and 25?
Okay, Pastor Dave, is it something that has already been...
Is that histemi or parahistemi?
Parahistemi is in Romans 12, and
that's the yield idea.
Mm-hmm. And in Romans 6, and there's a bunch of them. But it's para is alongside, is all to stand alongside of, to present alongside of, to give alongside of. Okay, now unto him who has the inherent power to guard you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, that word present is that the verb of histemi. It's in first aorist active infinitive.
Jude
chapter 24.
There is more than one chapter.
Is
that a test?
I thought there were 25 chapters in Jude.
Was that a test?
Wait, chapters.
Okay, if you insist, we'll go to verse 24 and verse 25. Jude Revelation.
Yeah.
On it. Okay. Okay, so let's go back over that as soon as Kathy finds it.
Keep going, that's okay. I'll catch up. Okay.
Jude.
Jude 24 and 25.
Yep. Now unto him who is able, who has the inherent power, that's dunameo, or dunamai, to keep or to guard. I'm not going to go into the background of that verb, but it would take us a lot of places. To guard you at any point in time from falling. And you know what the word falling is? It doesn't sound, some people say it means to fall from salvation. It isn't. He's going to keep you from tripping over something or stumbling, is our word in this. And he's going to keep us from stumbling and to present, and that's the word to stand or cause, make a stand at any point in time, another aorist, you faultless. Make you stand. Faultless means unblemished. No zits.
This is, I'm correct to say that this word in the New Testament is only ever used of Christ and the grace believer.
And it's just used of that condition. Unblemished. It's interesting. In classical Greek, if you go back and you look at it, it has the idea of having splattered mud on your garment, that kind of thing. And there's quite a bit of material on that in classical Greek, the root. Before his presence. Now, there is our word. It has the idea down before him. In his presence is a word that means right there in front of him in this relationship, in the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, is glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. And so you can see the punch of that being presented. And that involves the third heaven. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 3. Now I'm going to give you a clue, and so if you end up sitting under any of the seminarians, if the rapture doesn't occur tonight, if you end up sitting under them, I think that most of the guys have a handle on this. I've had to let that go. I'm sure that Chris is going to do the punch. Now, there's one right back there that should know all of this. And then when I say that, there are five chapters in 1 Thessalonians. Each one of the five chapters right at the end refer to the coming of the Lord. The one in chapter 3, I'm watching to see if you're understanding where I'm going with that. But the one in chapter 3 involves the coming not related to planet Earth, but the coming to the presence of the Father. The bridegroom is going to present the bride in the Father's house to the Father. And you can see that in, yes, we're headed there. In 3:13, and you can see it. It says, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable, and that's a different word than the one we had, unblemished, in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. From the rapture to the heavenly throne room in the third heaven, there would be this transformation that will make it possible for every grace believer to enter heaven and be acceptable to God the Father. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. In the next chapter, then, at verse 14, it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who follow." Is that referring to verse 13 in chapter 3?
No. No, in fact, it's interesting. Chapter 1, chapter 2, both are rapture-related. They're all rapture-related in a sense, because the rapture event is more than just seizure, taking the church up. The rapture begins when we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Dead raised, living, transformed, 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll all be transformed into something like we are now. The verb is an alos verb. It means to change into something similar, at least. So we'll be a humanoid. I'm sorry if you were looking forward to being a little green man or a little green woman. It's not going to be that way. That is not like we are. And that's the Greek verb there. We will be changed. There are stages, almost as it were. And then we won't go. The dead in Christ won't go ahead of us, and we won't go ahead of them. It says they will not precede us. We will be caught up how? Together, as one unit, like you say, one big cloud of believers. Caught up, meet the Lord in the air, and I believe it's going to be in the north because heaven is in the north, so I can read a couple of passages.
I'm looking at the implication of stay ridzo here, and it's an aorist infinitive. Mm-hmm. So this stabilizing influence of Paul's mystery gospel, Romans 16, will have accomplished positionally.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Its intended goal, even though we're struggling with it in our experience, it will accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we get there, we'll have accomplished
all of that stuff that we have accomplished or not, or we think we have accomplished. Mm-hmm. The best part of it is, if we don't understand it before we get there, we'll understand it immediately when we get there, when we see him as he is. And we will say, I am worthless. Nothing I ever did was anything. The one things the Holy Spirit did through me, the wood, hay, and stubble are gone, gold, silver, and precious stones. I believe that that order is not one of value, but rather it's an order of reflectivity, where there's a manifestation of the life of God in believers. And if we let get out of the way and let him do it, there will be various degrees of the manifestation of the life of God. Now, that's free. I don't charge tuition on that one either.
It's a word before in Jude 24 and in 1 Thessalonians 3:13. One is that, excuse me.